All right, good morning, guys. If you have your Bibles, Joshua chapter 3. Starting in verse 7, going to go there, the Word of God this morning. Let's get out a few scriptures. David, if you can get Joshua 3, 7 to 11, and then verse 17. Colby, can you get 2 Corinthians 3, 18? Matt, can you get Joshua 3, 7? Dwayne, Joshua 3:8, Nathan, Numbers 13:31, Kenny, Numbers 14:4, Gabe, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, Sean, Joshua 3:9, David Sanchez, Joshua 3:10, Devin, Joshua 3:17, Casey, Jeremiah 32:27, and that'll do it. So in ancient Greek history, there was a conclusion that many came to, and that was that running the four-minute mile was impossible. They said the human body physically cannot do it. They said our bone structure was wrong, there was too much wind resistance, our lung power was inadequate. And there was a million other reasons why they came to the conclusion the human body cannot run. It's physically impossible to run a four-minute mile. And interesting enough, throughout history, men have tried and failed. But one man, Roger Bannister, actually broke the four-minute mile. The year after Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile, 300 other men were able to break the four-minute mile as well. Up until that point, something was deemed impossible, but then there was a breakthrough. For every man of God here this morning, there will be impossible obstacles, situations, and barriers that you will come in contact with in your ministry. Many of you are probably facing barriers this morning, things that stand between you and the future that God has for you, but the hope is that through God's power and ability, He will bring us through impossible obstacles. What used to be a barrier can become a memorial. And that's what I want to look at. Very simple lesson this morning, barriers to memorials. Our main text, Joshua 3, 7 to 11, then verse 17. I encourage you read the whole chapter in your own time. But let's get our main text this morning.
And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord our God, Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all Israel, or of all the earth, is crossing over before you into Jordan. Verse 17. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all people had crossed completely over the Jordan.
Okay. Barriers to memorials. Let's look first of all at God's promise for our lives. So for each of us, we need to understand that God's promises, they're always future focused. What God is going to do in your life. This begins in salvation. The moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, all your sins are forgiven. But also salvation, there's a process there. What God is going to bring you into. God is moving through your life. And so this is a process. 2 Corinthians 3:18.
And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
So we are a work in progress. We are being transformed. There's things God is working out of our lives after we get saved, and there are things that God is working into our lives while we're living for Jesus. And so the future God has for us, it's always for our benefit. So think about our text. Connected with God's purposes, just like connected with God's purposes for our lives is blessing and help. The children of Israel, they're coming from 400 years of slavery. They were held captive by Egypt. Now they're free, and now they're entering into a promised land of blessing, a future. Egypt would not be an issue anymore after this point. And so this is the idea for us as men of God. God is bringing us into a new place of blessing and help. Joshua 3, verse 7.
The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all of the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses."
And then Joshua 3, 8.
"You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan."
And so then let's look at reality of barriers. So with all these promises that God gives us, what happens when we face something that we didn't expect? When we come in contact with something that separates us from where we need to be? And this is exactly where the children of Israel are. They've come out of slavery. They've wandered in the desert 40 years. And God is saying, now you can enter into the promised land. But the Jordan River is standing between them. So in your life, you will face obstacles, you'll face barriers, and you'll face opposition that will block you from your destiny. This was the barrier that was standing between the children of Israel and the promised land. Just because there was a barrier didn't make the promises any less real. They could see it. They could see the land in front of them. And yet there was something holding them back. For some of you, it might be people barriers. There can be frustrations. Maybe it's internal. Maybe it's habits, things that you're struggling with, issues of our past. How can I ever get through this based on what I've done? Maybe it's doubt, it's fear, whatever it is, the point is we will all face obstacles and barriers. Secondly, the will of God for your life is not automatic. The moment you said, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus, the moment you said, yes, I want to be a disciple, I want to do the will of God, that does not mean that everything is going to just flow into your life and it'll be rainbows and sunshine. It's a fight. Faith is always a fight. So the children of God here, they're wandering 40 years, basically wandering around in a circle, and then they come to this place. You know, there's a dangerous mentality for Christians to think that life should be free of problems and free of obstacles. I had obstacles before I got saved. Why should I be running into barriers and obstacles and problems today? But this isn't true. Thirdly, your decision to do the will of God will be opposed. Just by nature of saying no to sin and yes to God and following Jesus and doing the will of God, there's going to be opposition. And the point of the barrier was not, hey, let's turn around, let's go back to Egypt, see if we can get our old place back. That wasn't the point of the barrier. It wasn't to return to Egypt, but oftentimes Christians, men of God, can face opposition and they come to the conclusion, what's the point? Number one, what's the point of pursuing the will of God if I'm going to be going through all these problems? And number two, what's the point in living for God in the first place? It's easier back in Egypt. Remember how good it was back in Egypt? But that's a lie. And so there's incorrect conclusions about barriers. Number one, we can come to incorrect conclusions about our calling. Say things like, God must not want me to enter the promised land. God must not want me to do his will. Or maybe I was never called in the first place, right? Setbacks, problems, barriers. We interpret these things as a sign. Oh, God is giving me a sign now. Well, he called me at conference, but well, now it's different because I've got these problems. Numbers 13, 31.
But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.
And then Numbers 14, 4.
They said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.
And so this is something that we can do in our hearts sometimes. And let's be real, we're a few weeks away from conference. And there's some men here that after conference is over, that is not going to be a happy time for you. Because there's going to be this feeling, well, how come it's not any different for me now? How come they got drawn up? How come they're sent out and I'm not? You can feel that. You can feel that frustration and the danger as we come to incorrect conclusions about our calling. We can also come to incorrect conclusions about ourselves. I must not be saved. I'm not like these other people. I must not be doing right because of this barrier. Look how easy it is for everybody else, but me, I'm struggling. And that's also incorrect. The truth is, you can be doing all the right things and yet still face opposition and struggle. And then we can also come to incorrect conclusions about God. God, these barriers are your fault. Otherwise, why else would I be struggling? Why else would I be going through this? God, you put this in my path. And then ultimately, what can happen with barriers that we face in life is we stop moving forward. I've seen this. Many people, when faced with oppositions, when faced with barriers, they're blocked from the will of God. They never cross over into the promised lands, and especially men of God, they can stop pursuing the destiny that God has for them altogether. There's a barrier, struggles, I guess I'm just going to turn around. And that is the fourth wrong conclusion. So let's look secondly then this morning at the benefit of barriers. There's a powerful reality of what barriers do to us when we come in contact with them. Number one, we are forced to stop and focus. You know, for many men, and myself included, the passing of time can feel threatening. But really, the passing of time can also be beneficial, especially for disciples. We can have an incredibly hard time processing life correctly while we're waiting. Yeah, when everything's flowing, when things are going great, when things are moving, it's like, yeah, everything's fine. But what happens when you have to stop? What happens when you have to wait? You have to stop and focus. We live, it's an instant gratification generation. And oftentimes we can confuse our will with God's will. I remember Pastor Greg saying over and over, every choice you make is a God choice. Right? The unintended consequences of choices we make can oftentimes lead out of the will of God or lead into the will of God. It depends on how we process it. Secondly, we must depend on God for a breakthrough. What's the point of these barriers? Why am I going through this? Why is there such a struggle? But listen, much of what you will face as a man of God in ministry cannot simply be solved by willpower. If I just try hard, if I just try harder, if I just do better, if I'm just a better person, then I'm going to get through this. But oftentimes that mentality can only take you so far. Thirdly, it's helpful for God's people to identify the immovable. Right? Can you imagine how silly it would be if they came to the Jordan River and said, "What river?" Positive mental attitude. There is no river. That wouldn't make sense. There are very real obstacles and barriers that you will face in ministry. And without a supernatural touch from God, without a supernatural help from God, this will cause you to struggle. Wishful thinking, right? It's not enough. And so when we see the immovable obstacles of life, the point is we direct our focus on who God is and what he is able to do. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20.
For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory.
And so we understand this, that maybe you can't explain the barriers of life. Maybe you can't explain the hardships. Why am I going through this? But we do know in the character of God that he is able to bring us through. So let's look then at crossing over barriers. Number one, we as men must respond to barriers through the lens of God's word. Joshua 3:9.
So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God."
And so understand, having a relationship with God's word is essential to being able to work through the barriers that you'll face in ministry and the barriers that you will face in life. You have to have a relationship with God's word. If it's just like every couple months you crack it open again and because you heard a serious man about it, listen, that's not going to sustain you for the long term, and that will not sustain you in ministry. You have a daily relationship with God's word. Like Pastor Greg has said, Pastor Jesse has said, you're facing a struggle, a barrier or something in your life. Show me somewhere in the word of God that's contrary to that barrier that you're facing. What has God promised that you can claim for your situation? Secondly, recognize barriers as being unacceptable. Crossing over barriers means you must see the barriers and stop accommodating them into your life. Well, I'm just weak. Oh, it's just my temper. Oh, it's just my personality. I guess this is just the way it is for me. I'm not gifted like other guys. I'm not charismatic like other guys. You have to stop accommodating. Oftentimes, I've seen people turn their experiences into their life expectations. Well, this is how it's always been, so this is how it's always going to be. So you have to recognize these barriers are unacceptable. Thirdly, barriers are crossed over in connection with other people. Joshua 3:10.
And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites."
And so here, think about this. All the children of Israel, they are being led by Joshua. It was a man of God that was leading the people of God into their destiny. And so your growth and success as a disciple will largely depend on your relationship with your pastor. Men that never ask their pastor a single question. Men that are corrected or given direction by their pastor and never apply it. See, if you are not in relationship with your pastor here in Prescott, chances are if you get sent out, you will not be in relationship with your pastor when you're out on the field. It doesn't magically just happen. I can remember phone calls. A guy called me up. He was another pastor in the ministry, and he said, hey, I know I should be talking to Pastor Greg about this, but I said, stop right there. You're right. You should be talking to, I don't even know what it is, but you should be talking to Pastor Greg about this. But that's the reality. Think about it. When you get out on the field, when you're pastoring out on the field, Pastor Greg and Pastor Jesse are not calling you up every other day asking if you've prayed today. Have you read your Bible today? Have you gone on outreach today? Are you being fruitful? Are you winning souls for Jesus? It doesn't happen. And so you have to build that relationship with your pastor today. And then fourthly, the other part of that, barriers, and this is what I've experienced in ministry, and no doubt other pastors, but barriers and issues you face on the field, it's in relationship with your pastor and his direction that will help save you time, and you'll avoid major pitfalls and problems in ministry. Think about it. You will face things in ministry that you've never experienced before. I can remember sitting across the table talking to couples and they're telling me the things that they've done. And it's like, I got to have a game face on because on the inside, I'm like, how could you do that to your own life? Like, I am shocked. But it's in relationship with pastor. I get advice, get counsel from pastor. Okay, well, you tell him this and you work through that. And then lo and behold, you're helping to salvage people's lives because of what pastor has told you. If you don't have that relationship, you are setting yourself up for disaster. So write that down. Fourthly, we need the presence of God active in our lives. Ultimately, without God's power moving in our lives, then we will not be able to cross over on our own. Spiritually speaking, all that God has for your life, it is supernatural in nature. Meaning it is God's active involvement in our lives that makes his promises for us even possible. Joshua 3:17.
And the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all of Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed the Jordan.
So God is showing us something here. Crossing over those barriers that you face in life, it is supernatural. It is not try hard, do better, be good. It is not wishful thinking. It is the power of God activated in your life. And this is what can happen. Let's look finally then this morning at barriers becoming memorials. First of all, God can change how you view barriers. Number one, God can change how you view the past. This is a powerful image that we have in our text. And this is what salvation is. The barrier that blocked them from their future became the barrier that protected them from their past. And this is what we see in our text. Issues of the past that haunt us. No doubt, there's guys here this morning. Things that you've done in your past, you wake up every morning thinking about them. Thinking about, how am I ever going to get through this? How am I ever going to move on? But our scripture tells us the nature of God is that what once brought pain and worry, it can be changed. It can be put behind us. It's no longer an obstacle. Rather, it's a memorial. God can cause your past to become a memorial. Jeremiah 32:27.
Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?
This is a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Can God use my life? Can God really change me? Can God really help me enter into my destiny? The answer is absolutely. There's nothing too hard for God. And He's able to do that. Secondly, God can change how you view present circumstances. So no doubt you will face things in your life today that are blocking you from destiny. And when God is able to remove the obstacle of your past lives of sin, then He's also able to remove barriers of today. It's how you view life. You look at something, it's like, I don't know how I can ever get through this. But God does. And it's in relationship with Him that we're able to cross over those things. You don't view them the same. Thirdly, God can change how you view your future. So the Jordan River would not be the only obstacle the children of Israel would face. It's like, wow, I'm glad we got through the Jordan. Now it's everything is gravy. Up next, it was the walls of Jericho, another immovable and impossible situation that only God was able to change. But this is the hope. In your life, in ministry, there might be things today that are an obstacle, things that are blocking you. But listen, the hope is that down the road, future areas of blessing, of usefulness, where God wants to use your life, you're going to have other barriers, and you'll be able to look back at this Jordan River and say, you know what, God, you got me through that. You can get me through this. What did David say? I fought the lion and the bear. This Philistine will be like one of them. That was applying what God has done in the past to my present and future circumstances. Gives us a confidence. Finally, when barriers become memorials, there's a powerful picture here. God wants the people to remember this place, not for how difficult it seemed in the moment, but to remember what God did regardless of the size of the difficulty. Sometimes we read the Bible and it's sort of like, oh yeah, the Jordan River, it was parted. They went over on dry ground. Like, oh, that's cool. Like, how many times have you seen that happen in history outside of the Bible? It doesn't happen, but it's supernatural. And God is saying to us, He's able to do that for us. Whatever the obstacle is, maybe it's personal. Maybe it's in your life, your finances, you know, situations that you're going through. God says, I'm able to help you cross over. And so when the children of Israel came up and out of the river, God commanded them to pile stones on the side of the promised land taken from the river when the people were passing through it. God is saying, listen, it's in the place of obstacle and pain. I want you to take rock, physically pick up rocks, make a memorial in the promised land. So every time you see that pile of rocks, you're not seeing barriers, you're seeing a memorial. And this is the promise for us. What a testimony for the future of God's people that He is able to overcome. He is able to bring us through things that we think are impossible. And this would have given future generations confidence to believe God for the impossible. And so that is the question this morning. What are your barriers this morning? What is your opposition this morning? Things that you're facing in life that, and you say, I have no idea how I'm going to get through this. I have no idea how I'm going to get over this. We serve a God of the impossible that can turn barriers into memorials. That's all I have this morning. that triggers any questions.
Yeah, Gabe. Are you facing barriers that you faced when you were a disciple now on a, just a different scale or a different kind of version? Because, I mean, there's barriers that I faced when I was younger that it's kind of a repeating barrier in a certain area, like finances or whatever. And it gets easier because every time I learn how to trust God a little bit more, but I'm, you know, in this certain area, I'm still, my first thought is always, oh, you know, groaning and whining before I actually look to God. Is that barrier just going to keep coming until I learn how to handle it perfectly, or do barriers stop coming once you learn how to handle them eventually?
No, you will always have barriers in life. Maybe they look different than what they did when you first got saved, but our reaction shouldn't be any different. Hmm. It's not, I need to respond perfectly to this. It's, God, I'm in need of a miracle here, just like I was back then. And there's no scale that God puts miracles on, like, oh, well, I helped you there, but this is a biggie. God is able to help us overcome all of it, you know, and that will be a regular part of ministry, is you will face impossible situations, you know, situations of fruitfulness or situations of barrenness, things that guys are going through, situations with people, situations with landlords and properties and trying to get into a building situation. I mean, there's a myriad of issues that you will face. And God is not up in heaven with his arms crossed saying, well, until you have perfect faith, I'm not really going to help you. I think that's a dangerous way to view God. But the point is, our reactions should be the same. Should be, you know what, God, this is an impossible situation. Maybe it's different, but you're still the God of the impossible. You can still break through on my behalf. So, yeah, the answer is maybe it's not the same exact thing that I dealt with when I was a teenager, but there's still obstacles.
Sure.
There's still forces that work against the will of God for our lives. But our reaction should be the same. God, this is what you promise. That never changes.
Okay.
God, what does your word say? And am I experiencing, is what I'm experiencing in line with the promises that you've given me? If the answer is no, that's unacceptable. Right? So, anybody else? Other questions? Something that brings up. Thinking.
Master.
Yeah.
Is it possible that sometimes barriers that you go through, you pray about them and everything like that, and you want them to get taken care of completely, almost like a get out of jail free card, but they essentially are put there for a reason. I think a lot of us, I'm speaking for myself, but it's like, this is terrible and I don't want to have to deal with this. Can you take it away? And there is an element of like, but you need to learn something from this. So like he allows it to a certain degree. I mean, I hate more than anything, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Mm. I'm like, try it sometime, please.
Yeah,
stop telling me that. But is there some truth to that though? That like he won't give you more than you can handle, but sometimes when you're stubborn,
well,
you need to learn a lesson.
Yeah, I think the point is, what do you do with it? What do you do with the barrier, right? The children of Israel, they could sit in front of the Jordan for years learning lessons about how, you know, it's really hard to cross rivers, but at some point they had to cross over. And so I think that's where our analytical brains have to shut off for a moment, and we have to step out in faith. Say, maybe I don't understand everything about this situation, and maybe I never will, but the point is, God, I need to get through this. And God is able to make a way. He's able to open up. And then eventually, the lesson is, God, you know, you're able to part the Jordan River in my situation. And then looking back on it, it's no longer pain, but it's, God, look what you brought us through. Right?
Yeah.
I think if you don't learn lessons from the situations and obstacles that you face, you're not paying attention. And I think it is, you've got to be careful when you say, God is teaching me a lesson with all the problems that are coming in my life, then it's like, okay, I really like learning lessons, so maybe I need to just start praying for a bunch of problems. That's probably unhealthy. But I think the point is, whether it's God is trying to teach you something, oftentimes I've seen in my life, the lessons come from repeated issues and mistakes. If you haven't learned yet, God is trying to show you something. Wait, I've faced this issue of pride before. I've faced this issue of carnality before. God, you're trying to teach me something, and I refuse to learn the lesson. The point is, we learn the lesson. The lesson of the barriers that the children of Israel faced was, we can't get through this without God. And that's when God steps in. But, you know, I think crossing over, that is learning the lesson. Because they had to apply that lesson over and over and over again throughout their history. You know, but that's the hope. It's the same lesson they learned. God wants to help us see him clearly. So we can, but we have to be willing to cross over. Somebody else. David.
What's the biggest thing that you've seen when dealing with a barrier that produces breakthrough? There's a number of things that I've barriers over the years. And it can be like one day, this huge barrier is here, the next day.
Foundationally for me, it was when I made a habit of reading my Bible every single day. That was foundational. You know, and a lot of the issues and barriers and problems and things that I was facing, it was a result of not having a daily relationship with God's Word. If you don't have a daily relationship with God's Word, then you interpret all of the turmoil that life brings through the lens of our own failings, our own insecurities, right? The family you were born into, I'm just weak, I'm just not geared for this line of work. Maybe then you doubt calling. And so fundamentally, my Christian experience changed dramatically when I fell in love with God's Word. And falling in love with God's Word means that you have to start reading God's Word first. I think that's the mistakes that some guys make. It's like, well, I don't really have an appetite for it, or I don't really have the time for it. Same thing with like morning prayer. Well, I don't really have the time, or you make the time for it. You make it a priority, whatever it takes. And when you do that, you'll see issues that come into your life. You're like, wait a minute, no, this is what God's Word says. I refuse to accept this situation. It involves sickness, finances, fruitfulness. It impacts so many different areas of your life. And that's personal for me. You know, there's other things. Life is complicated, but it was developing a relationship with God's Word. That was fundamental. And I think that's fundamental for every man of God. If you want to do something for God, you have to have a relationship with God's Word. Yeah. Matt?
Yeah. What do you think the significance of verse 7 was when he says, God said, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all of Israel? What was significant about that day, and how does a man enact that? Or if it's, I know it's not simply a God's decision, but it was a decision by, you know, God in the Scripture, okay, from this point on, there's going to be a difference, there's going to be a marking. We're going to begin to see that there will be, you see that God is with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think leadership is a critical component in what we do in ministry. It involves other people, and it involves leading other people. So for Joshua, he was a servant long before he was a leader. He's serving Moses. He's serving the people. He's in a place of submission, right? And God raised him up. This day simply was today. It's happening because you're going to command the people to cross over. And you know, I think maybe part of that was God's almost stamp of approval on Joshua, saying, I've chosen you. You're going to be the man. And you know, other people saw that. But oftentimes men who rise up in leadership are men who are servants first, that make other people a priority. And then leadership comes. It's not a declaration like, guys, today, I'm in charge. It doesn't really work like that.
I don't know if that might be too much, but do you think that this might, the reason Moses struggled with some of the things before is because he wasn't really in that servant capacity? I know he served his father-in-law, but you know, he really struggled with getting people to get on board.
Well, I think Moses had an incorrect view of God and was letting his pride make some decisions for him, which was not healthy. You know, smiting the rock. Do you want water, rebels? It's like he is a mouthpiece for God. In other words, the same way Moses viewed other people, they interpreted that. That must be how God views us too. And that's not healthy. You know, could be, but I don't know. Not really enough information. I think the point was Israel needed a leader, and Joshua was a man for the task. So I think that's the idea. And how that works out in our lives as men of God is it starts with serving first, right? In the book of Acts, choose you, men to wait on tables full of the Holy Spirit. This was not just like a minor issue. This was like we need men that we can trust with this, right? And so that led to breakthrough. Somebody else? That's it. So keep your eyes open today. No doubt we're going to have a ton of visitors this morning and tonight leading up to the Christmas season. Have eyes for new people who have never been here before. We want to make a connection with them, right? So as disciples, you should be looking. You should be aware and cognizant of that. And that'll be vitally important. So, amen. All right, guys. That's all I have. Thank you.